Senior Focus.
Welcome, everyone. It's great to have you with us. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm the presenter for this session of Senior Focus. And this is the first time in New Zealand that we're celebrating Matariki as a public holiday this week. So I thought that the show would be good to focus around this theme. And as I prepared, I thought about the way in which the landscape culturally transformed in the 90s in Wellington as Te Reo branched out into society and was more familiar and more accepting and more part of mainstream life. And we had amazing things happening down there, like the bicultural theatre, Takirua, and then the development of Te Papa as a bicultural museum. The first time we'd had a public institution like that go bicultural from the top down, as well as linking with Māori communities. And the success of that has been really phenomenal. It's been the leadership, the quality of input, and the way Māori have embraced it. It's been really fantastic. And what we're seeing in Auckland now is a similar cultural transition as Te Reo comes into the public space, the naming of many parks, the renaming, I should say, or the dual naming, the naming of other place names and significant sites across the region, and the use of Te Reo in the public space has just mushroomed in the last 12 to 18 months. So we've got Te Reo classes full. It's very difficult to get into classes. You have a waiting list in most situations. And people of all ages are clamouring to learn. And I think of people in their 90s, even one close friend who's 101, he answers his phone, Ke Nākoi, and he signs off in Te Reo when he goes to hang up, or when he ends a conversation with you when you're visiting. So people can do all manner of explorations with how they pick up Te Reo. But this program's not just about the cultural renaissance that's happening at the moment, but it is about the full-blown cultural recognition of we have a dual society, we have dual language status, and we have a rich tradition of Māori and Pākehā working together, achieving together, and for the first time we're acknowledging that we live in the South Pacific, that our geographical position, if you like, from the heavens is fixed by the stars, the Matariki stars. And those stars, of course, are close to the Southern Cross, and they have been extraordinarily important to the navigation of the Pacific. And so they're known in Australia and Polynesia, these stars. And I note that in Australia and in Samoa, where they have those stars on the flags of those countries, they actually have additional stars. You know, they have more stars than us, one more. So I'm not sure why we only have the ones we have, but anyway, the main thing is that there's a wealth of cultural knowledge to be learnt, including the names of the stars and the significance of them in terms of Māori mythology and storytelling and culture. And there are many situations where you can learn this information in a fun way, because there's lots of events going on, and not just on Friday the 24th on the public holiday day, but right across the week, starting with Ngāti Whātua welcoming the celebrations and hosting this year in Auckland, and that starts on the 21st of June at dawn. and then followed by the traditional ceremonies and kai and speeches. There will be later in the week things happening right from schools and libraries through to the weekend where lots of people are doing events. I noticed whether it's the local arts community, the business associations, the schools and libraries and things, whether it's any of those, there's plenty of publicity out in the local papers, and you can go online at Auckland Council and just put in Matariki celebrations. You'll find there's plenty of things to look at and decide where you're going to go. Of course, Devonport is a great expedition because you can hop on a ferry and go over there, or you don't have to drive your car and get stuck on Lake Road. You can also find that there will be market days across that weekend, and so there will be things happening at local markets and so on, lots of hangi food and lots of ways in which you can rub shoulders with people and see kapa haka performances from youth. And our youth are particularly skilled nowadays. I mean, I can remember times when they didn't have much idea. They were throwing themselves into it and it was a lot of fun, but that's all it was. But now there's a polishedness about the way our youth perform kapa haka, and we can be really excited what has transformed over the last 10 years in terms of the standards in schools and the way in which it's been embraced by children from all cultural backgrounds. And it's not uncommon to see a very diverse bunch of children involved in kapa haka these days. So I hope that you'll just find a way to slip into some of these events. Ask your grandchildren where they're going to celebrate Matariki, what things they're involved in or what they might want to do, and just see what you can do in your own local neighbourhood. The Matariki Awards in Māoridom are a way of acknowledging this festival, because it's a time of reflection, it's a time of remembrance, remembering ancestors, it's a time to look back and look forward, and it is the Māori New Year, so it is time where you assess, where you set goals, where you consider your whole self as a whole person and think, well, how am I doing at the moment? How am I doing physically? How am I doing mentally? How am I doing emotionally and spiritually? Am I feeling alive and in tune with the environment? Do I feel nurtured? Do I feel stimulated? Is there anything that I'm not happy with? Is there any parts of me that feel left behind or unloved? And these are sort of questions that you as an individual can ask yourself. Because if you're doing an assessment of yourself at the New Year, this is what some people do at New Year. But why not think of, we live in the South Pacific, why not tune into the Māori New Year and make this the time of the year where you do assessing of things. Looking back, reflecting, it's a really good time to think about what sort of focus you want to have in the next 5 years, what sort of focus in the next 10 years. And as the world is changing, both technology is flourishing and transforming things very rapidly. And on that note, it can be a bit daunting to think what the world will be like in 5 to 10 years. On the other hand, it might be that some connections with our deeper past are even more vital. So we might go back to things that have nurtured us 20, 30 years ago that we got great satisfaction from participating in, and think, yeah, I really used to love riding my bike, or I used to love painting or collecting things from the environment and making collage or whatever it was, or playing bowls. Things that you did, and you think, well, maybe I haven't done it for a long time. But I could find other people who are enjoying doing it, and I could start again. These are just off the top of the cuff ideas that have been coming to me. But, I mean, everyone is unique, and everyone has things that bring them alive, things that really stimulate them, things that really make them sing. And on that note, I think it's a good thing that I might advertise here, that the wonderful Tauranga Jazz Festival, which used to be at Easter, which has been shut down for the last 2 years because of COVID and the disruptions associated with that, and so lockdowns and so on have meant that people have missed that bright event, and it's on the horizon over Matariki weekend. So Midge Marsden and the Roger Fox Big Band, and people like Paul Dine, and players that really people come out to hear perform. They're all on show, and there's the dancers and the big swing band music, and there's so much going on. And it's starting on the Wednesday night, the 22nd of June, with the Midge Marsden concert, and going through the Friday public holiday and across the weekend. So if you haven't thought about what to do over the holiday weekend, or you haven't made up any plans yet, consider going to Tauranga. And even if you just go for a day, you can go onto the web, and you can find taurangafestival.co.nz, and you can look up the programs. So enjoy, and at least get a feel for what's out there and what might be possible. Now, going back to the Māori Matariki Awards, the Supreme Award has gone to Rob Ruha from the East Coast, for his song 35, as it's known, 35. Very terrible, that. But it also is known as Ka Hau, and it's just such a groovy tune. It's wonderful to toe tap, to clap to jig to you know, just get yourself in a great mood. And it's short and sweet and wonderful. So we're going to listen to it now.
No poor, no, 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 wako hapa ni mimi. Bare ire yatapa, ununua tapa, tapu kununua kwa natukua. Tapare yatapa, ununua tapa, ununua kwa yanda.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that. Talking about the Matariki Awards, in addition to the wonderful way in which Rob's magnificent song has been recognised, Tania Newton's leadership of the issue surrounding Te Ihu Mātou and the land of Stonefields, that's been controversial, but it's been very significantly described as sold, that slogan for the campaign. It's been acknowledged that Tania's leadership and the group, the movement, deserves recognition, and so within Māori Dim Diff received one of the final awards. Also, Sir Tepini O'Regan received an award, a Lifetime Achievement Award, actually. And it's very significant that people are able to receive these sorts of awards while they're still here and while they're still with us and while their success can be enjoyed with their iwi on a special occasion like Matariki. So, most of these awards are hugely deserved, and it's quite in keeping with the tradition of New Year. After all, we've got the New Year's honours that we have in the Pākehā world. So this is a very good way of recognising what people are doing across the motu, across our country. So congratulations to those award winners. And it's difficult at the moment because we are still out of the studio, and today I'm at Monte Cecilia Park with a wonderful skyline looking at the Parr Homestead, which is a magnificent building and always wonderful to take guests who are visiting Auckland. It's certainly one of the grand buildings of New Zealand. And within the park itself, there were some pretty incredible trees. I'm just sitting in front of a totara right now, just admiring it and enjoying a bit of sun for a change, not rain. It's it's wonderful we have resources like this park and these trees that were planted so long ago and that are so mature and able to clean our environment, able to give us so much oxygen, able to ensure our health and well-being. And we hope that many more plantings will occur. I mean, I know that there are lots of groups out planting trees at the moment, and that's a significant thing that happens at this time of the year. So tree planting will undoubtedly be part of Mafariki celebrations for many groups up and down Aotearoa at this time. And if you get an opportunity to plant even one tree at this time of the year, if you were to do one tree every year for the next 10 years, you could have 10 significant trees on some property, either yours or someone else's, locally. And this would all add value in terms of climate change. It's okay, it's only one tree per person, but if everyone was doing it, what an amazing result we would have. And the more people become connected to the value of trees, the more we can have hope that we'll have a better future, that we'll have clearer air to breathe, that we'll have more safety and more ecosystems protected and so on. Now, because I'm in open air, there's a helicopter going over, these sorts of distractions do happen. But as I say, we're getting closer to the time when we hope to be in our studio. Now, today I want to also talk about loneliness, because for some people, we come to a public holiday and they immediately think of what's closed and what they can't do, and they also feel isolated because they think everybody else is going out to do things at events. Everyone else has got family to celebrate with. Everyone else is connected up. And I'm just plain lonely. Now, there's a lot of research that tells us that there are physical signs of loneliness, like decreased energy and appetite, poor sleep, a tendency to get sick more often. And some scientists have even said that showering for longer with hot water can be a sign. Apparently there is a need to feel warmth on the body. And I guess if you're not having hugs, then the next thing to a hug is a shower with hot water on your body. But addictive behaviours can also happen. People can be addicted to alcohol and other unhelpful behaviours that may not lead to good outcomes for their health or well-being. So during the pandemic, people did feel more isolated and they got out of the habit of home. They got out of the habit of going out of their way to meet and greet and cannot stay connected. It was easier to just stay home. Easier, in fact, to stay in bed and not even get up. And so we are seeing more people experiencing loneliness, more people perhaps lacking the connectivity that they need. And as they age, this becomes a growing phenomenon. There are a number of people actually looking at doing more research, and one of the things that I guess has brought us together has been this kind of focus that has been out in the community, that it's positive that we are all facing COVID together. And so if a lot of people are experiencing things and it becomes more common, then it's easier to admit to it. It's easier to actually come out and say, well, I'm actually feeling a bit lonely. I've had one or two people actually approach me and ask me, would I mind giving them a hug? And it sort of surprised me, actually, because I wasn't, that wasn't something that had happened much in my past, pre-COVID existence. People would just spontaneously hug me. They wouldn't ask. But now people are actually restarting some social behaviours, like hugs. They feel they have to ask because of the COVID situation and make it an option. And I guess that's something you can do if you're someone who is missing hugs and you need that sort of touch because you don't have it at home when you're out. Well, I often say to people, oh, it'd be good to have a hug, wouldn't it? And which is a kind of a step up. It's not asking. It's actually stating, hey, this will be a good thing. Are you up for it? Kind of. So you can ask the question indirectly by your tone of voice and having making it sound like a question without actually asking the question.
Yeah.
Subtle way. It's possible. And I think what we need to think about is dropping judgments that we might be tempted to make, because if we are judging people, if we are judgmental, then other people won't be so comfortable sharing with us. It won't be easy for people to admit to things that are worrying them or how they are affected by loneliness. They won't open up. They won't share. I think being able to laugh and tell jokes, be able to admit to your own foibles is often a good starting point in any sort of interactions, because that way you open the door to other people to also admit to things, and then it all gets a lot easier. So although it is a public holiday and although some places will be closed, I think libraries will be closed, particularly on this Friday, it's an opportunity to just rethink your own connection with your local environment and the local people around you and what you can do. And I know that some people are going to concentrate on pests. They're going to be out getting rid of pesky plants, using tools. They're going to be working with neighbourhood groups, or they're going to be out trapping pesky creatures like possums. And there are a number of groups within the region that actually do have possum traps, that do have groups that go out, that do have tools and things that they own and lend, and that have bins for you to put the nasty weeds and pests that you're having to dispose of. So if you get motivated to do all this, again, go and have a look on the council website, or go and talk to people this week at the library. They have all sorts of information about these groups. So those are some suggestions for how to do something different at Matariki. And most of all, don't forget it's a time of celebrating with food. And if you can join some community celebrations with community kai, then it becomes a real sense that, yeah, this is a real, real event. This is a real celebration. This is something that's positive and uplifting for everyone. So I hope you enjoy it very much. And let's go out on a good note, and we'll listen to Rob Ruha's Song 35 again.
Kahawi tenganawa, tak hujan mana.
we can become